step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thorntons.
Holy crap, I don't know who the hell we think we are.
My wife can score more than two buckets on 11 shots.
The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
Go play intramurals, brother. Go play intramurals.
They're supposed to be mature adults, but they're really not. Who's the kid here? Who's the kid here? Are you kidding me?
Now here's your host, Nick Coffey.
All right, good morning and welcome in. Happy Friday. You made it to the end of the week. It's a Friday. It's a rainy, nasty Friday, but it is Friday nonetheless. And we have got a big weekend that we're going to get you set with. So stick with us. We're taking you up till 10 o'clock. My name's Nick Coffey. The marvelous Matt Allen once again taking vacation on a Friday. So Austin in the saddle this morning, and let's do this. I can't tell, Austin, are fans confident? Is it quiet confidence? Is it no confidence? We got a big game tomorrow, and what I've been reiterating throughout the week is that I'm just happy to be in the situation where you can at least envision this team going down there and keeping it competitive and maybe finding a way to win. I mean, I made the prediction that they're going to win. I realize that's bold. It's more wishful thinking than it is anything really from a matchup analysis standpoint. But I've got some confidence, and I just feel like there's a lot of quiet fans out there. And I don't know if it's because they don't want to get ahead of themselves, or maybe they just, you know, maybe they don't have the same confidence. I've never had more confidence in Satterfield than I do right now.
Is there such thing as like a scared confidence? Does that make sense? Like, I mean, we just been in this situation before. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but we feel like there's a damn good chance that we could go in there and beat Clemson. But we also see ourselves down early to Clemson. We can look back at ourselves and say, yeah, what are we thinking?
Yeah, I think the scared feeling is more so a, okay, here I am actually feeling pretty confident, but I'm scared to get my hopes up, that kind of thing. I mean, I guess that's it. I mean, it is Clemson. I mean, in the last couple of days, I've realized, you know, they do have superior talent than most programs in college football. It's just I've watched them enough this year, and they're not scary. And in Louisville, if they don't play well, you know, we know they could lose to just about anybody. They've done it this year. But they've just been a different team in recent weeks, and I just hope that they can carry that confidence down there to Death Valley. But it is going to be just a different atmosphere. I mean, this will be an atmosphere that these guys haven't played in yet this year. I mean, if you thought, I mean, you remember hearing after week one how loud the Carrier Dome was. I mean, they're in for something much different tomorrow.
We've been to the Bounce House, Nick. This is nothing.
That is true. The Bounce House is not Death Valley, but that is a place that, if you remember, Louisville snapped a long streak there. They had won, I think, many games consecutively. And Clemson right now has the longest consecutive winning streak on their home field. I think it's at 22. So Louisville will be doing something that hasn't been done in a long time, beating Clemson on their home field.
But in Saturday,
I'm there. I'm not going to the game, but I'm there as far as my confidence. I mean, it's not as if I'm, you know, going to hammer a big, huge bet because I'm, you know, that confident, but I think they win this game. Louisville is still 7-point underdogs. Sounds like the conversation regarding Malik sounds like he's going to be okay. I mean, there's a part of me.
And you were scared.
Well, there's a part of me that, I mean, the way in which they, I mean, I'll take them at their word, meaning Satterfield and Lance Taylor when they talked on Tuesday. I mean, they acted like he was completely fine and he did, you know, he dinged his hand. He
dinged it.
But if in fact he was dealing with something that was going to be a problem, they wouldn't tell us. So, like, again, I take them at their word. It was Lance Taylor who I just felt like, you know, was really, you know, really, really adamant that he's not worried at all about Malik. And I guess if he wasn't practicing, maybe we would know. I'm not sure. But that would change things. But again, I can't imagine him not at least trying to play. Maybe his dinged non-throwing hand becomes a factor during the game, but he's definitely going to give it a go. This, I mean, look, not only, I mean, Scott Satterfield has certainly changed how we view him in the last month or so, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. But this is a game that if Malik plays well and they win, this is the Malik moment. And to be fair to the kid, he's never really had that despite putting up some really big numbers.
No.
You agree? Like, what is Malik's moment?
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Everything, all these biggest statistical games seem to come against the terrible spots where they're playing like a Duke, or they're playing like maybe not this year because Wake Forest is ranked, or just bad Wake Forest teams when they're shooting it out with them, or Syracuse in previous years where they were just bad. So that's there hasn't been that taking of the – he's had several opportunities.
Absolutely.
Clemson last year, Florida State this year. I mean, it's been there for the 12 years that Malik Cunningham has been here. He's had several chances to right that ship, and I've always been down on him, Nick. I mean, I'm not going to shy away for it. I'll get down on Malik Cunningham, but still, he does at this point in time give Louisville their best chance to win. So it is very, very important that he plays, because with the way the roster is constructed, we love some Brocktober, but as of right now,
November.
Malik Cunningham, it was done. It was just a dream, right?
So with Malik, I would say his best game his moment was when they won the Music City Bowl against Mississippi State. He was 16 of 23, had a couple of touchdowns, 280 yards in the air.
Yeah, 81. There you go.
So that's probably it. But again, I think that kind of speaks to just the fact that he's not. I mean, beating an SEC team in a bowl game coming off of a 2-10 season really did put a nice cherry on top of the bounce back season and Satterfield winning ACC Coach of the Year. But you know, if we got to go back that far and dig, and I'm sure most people don't really remember him specifically in that game. Maybe you do, but that just reiterates that.
I'm not going to lie, I don't.
Yeah, that reiterates that he hasn't. This is such a big opportunity for him to have a moment. And to be fair, he's got three opportunities in these last three games. I mean, think about it. NC State's win against Wake Forest, that put them in the top 16 in the college football playoff rankings. So, I mean, that's going to be a big opportunity as well. And Kentucky, we know what's on the line there. I mean, if Kentucky, you know, statistically speaking, as far as resumes and rankings and whatnot, Kentucky is the easiest game left on the schedule. I don't think we look at it that way necessarily just because of what's happened in recent years. But if he can come out and have his moment then, I mean, goodness gracious, what a great way to wrap up your 13-year career here, right?
I agree. And especially, you got to think of the last couple games. They haven't really called for Malik. Just with the way that the defense has been playing, it hasn't really called for Malik to be our savior like he's kind of been
used
to.
He's playing loose, man.
And us fans.
He's not having to do a whole lot. And that's why, you know, I was talking to somebody earlier this week, and I just mentioned how confident before I made it public that I was going to say Louisville wins, and he made a good point. He said, you know, the only worry is that Malik has never really led Louisville on a game-winning drive like this, and he's had many opportunities, and that's true. There's no doubt about it. But as I've said throughout the week, I just think we're seeing what a quarterback can look like as far as weight off their shoulders when there's not that pressure to put together some. I mean, can we agree that there's been many times where it felt like Malik was trying to do too much, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, think about it. It's because he knows for the last 3 years, if they don't score, there's a good chance the defense is going to give up seven the next play. I mean, that's how bad the defense had been, and now they're not. And I can't say that I've seen him look more comfortable. I mean, I think he played really well for the most part against James Madison, and, you know, he's doing his part, but I would hope that he has much more poise and just knowing that, hey, if we don't get, you know, don't get too high, don't get too low, if we don't score here, it's all right. This defense is going to get off the field pretty quickly, or at least they should. And I hope that that is what gets him to the moment where he can ease in, keep his poise, and potentially put together a big drive. It also helps when you've got ball carriers like Tyon Evans and Josh Jordan. I mean, those two guys play phenomenal against James Madison, which, again, it's James Madison. I know that doesn't sound impressive, but they did have the number one running defense in the country, and Louisville had two running backs go over 100 yards. So I'm confident, man. I really am, and I can't tell if fans feel the same or if they just have that quiet confidence, or I would say my best guess is what you hinted at, Austin, which is that I think fans are feeling pretty good, but they don't want to get their hopes up again because we've kind of been here before. But I will say this. Although we've been here feeling good about the team and been let down, I think the confidence level is more justified than ever. I mean, let's be real. This team has been different. They just are. And the difference is the defense is now pretty damn good. So anyways, I want to hear from you guys this morning. 502-571-7900 is the number if you want to give us a call. You can also text in 502-653-0790. That is the L&N Federal Credit Union text line. If you need breakfast this morning, stop in at Thornton's. They've got you covered. And if you're not a Refreshing Rewards member, I'm telling you, there's no better time than right now to sign up, because when you sign up, you're going to get a free breakfast sandwich and a free drink. That should incentivize you, right? It's free. And not only is it free items, it's free to sign up, and you save money when you get gas. So go to refreshingrewards.com or download the app today. I think you will be happy that you did. All right, so
I want to re-sign up. Just go create a new username under a fake mustache.
I think what you'd have to do is get a second phone number. It may be worth adding a line to your cellular plan just to get double the rewards on from Thornton's. It may be worth it. Maybe something to consider. All right, so we're now 24 hours removed from what happened at the Yum Center on Wednesday night as Louisville lost to Bellarmine. And, you know, there's not really a whole lot more that I can say that you guys probably haven't already said yourself, which is not really surprised, but still that sucks. And I don't want to lose to Bellarmine and act like everything's okay. But I did sort of see some things that make me believe this team could potentially put it together and be better than anticipated. I mean, it's just a very unusual situation for Louisville, because I understand the reaction that is like, look, I don't care who you are, where you came from, how much experience you have. Louisville doesn't lose to Bellarmine. Like, I get that. But we also have to just look at where we are. I mean, this is a team that doesn't have superior talent. They have no depth at guard. And look, not to dunk on people who said the guards weren't a concern, but you're getting dunked on. I mean, that's what's happening. Anybody who claimed that this team was fine, they didn't need to add guards, I think you have been proven wrong in a major way. And there's no way to say this without sounding mean, but Hersey Miller and Zane Payne cannot be in your rotation if you want to compete against good teams. I mean, that's obvious, I think. I mean, Kenny Sun, I don't want to speak out of my rear end here, but I'm not even sure like what if he played like basketball at a high level before he got to UK as a walk-on. So, I mean, the fact that he was like your first guard off the bench, yikes. Airball. And I don't think Kenny's playing his son because he's his son. I just think he's throwing guards. I mean, what does this tell you about Fabio Vasili? He has not gotten off the bench in the last two games. I mean, I'm a little curious, because I think Fabio Vasili is a freshman. You let him cut his teeth, let him make mistakes. He actually has some talent, and he's a true guard. But if he can't get in the game, that's concerning, right? I mean, that I would say, Austin, that's the biggest surprise for me up to this point in the exhibition games and the regular season opener, is that kid's not got off the bench.
Yeah, and he honestly, you see Fabio out there. He doesn't, at least to me, he doesn't look too, he's still got some growing to do just
sure,
physically.
Sure, he's a young kid.
He's a young kid, and I mean, we'd like to get him out there to cut his teeth a little bit, but he just kind of looks, one of these things is not like the other out there sometimes. And but that was, you know, that he was kind of supposed to be not your saving grace, but he was like the last guard brought in. He was and he was kind of fast tracked to be into this class, right?
Yeah, so, and it's unfair to the kid, but like,
absolutely,
he was a saving grace because you had no other scholarship guard. But then again, he also is a guy that probably wouldn't have been here if in fact you weren't in the situation you were in. So
you'd be asking him to do a lot.
Yeah. So look, I think what happened is, this guy, I mean, he's really been thrown, you know, for really the entire summer. This young man was not expected to be in college. He was going to do a year of prep and be a post-grad guy. And then he realized Louisville needed him. And, of course, Louisville's a pretty good program, all things considered. So here he is. So I just think when you're asked to guard for 30 seconds, essentially, in the shot clock against the Scott Davenport ran offense, like, it could have been a nightmare for him, to where he's just lost defensively and not, so maybe that's why Kenny didn't play him. But, look, guards were going to be a concern. Now we're seeing it play out. And we'll never know. I don't think we will ever know as far as what led to Louisville not getting a single guard. Did they pass on some? I mean, I've heard that they've passed on some guys early on because they felt that they could go get better players and then they didn't. Maybe Kenny learned the hard way that it's not as easy to get players at Louisville as it is at Kentucky, especially when you are a new head coach who's never done it before. We all know that the pending sanctions were a factor as well, but I don't know how much of a factor that was. So that is the biggest concern with this team. The bigs have not played well for the most part, but I think you feel like you have some options there. But at guard, Mike James and Al Ellis are going to have to play a lot of minutes. And you guys know everybody yells at me because I've used the excuse of the NCAA situation as a factor for Chris Mack and Kenny Payne, because it is. Now, how much of a factor, how much grace should they be given for that? That's debatable, I suppose. But Scott Davenport said something after the game on Wednesday night that really stuck with me. Those guys on his team, every one of them entered their career at Bellarmine knowing about the four-year window where they can't go to the tournament. And I think you could sell a kid, hey, you got the, you know, you're really a D2 type recruit, but we're going D1. So like kids would go D1 instead of D2, even if they can't play in the tournament. Let's be real. That's everybody's dream, is to play the Division I level. But that really, really stood out to me. And I don't know why I didn't think of that before, but here we are giving Kenny. Look, it is a legitimate excuse that it's going to be hard to go get high caliber players, especially those that only have like 1 year of eligibility left. Like, they're not going to come to Louisville unknown. And not even if Louisville didn't have a potential postseason ban, they want to go to a team that's supposed to be good. Louisville was picked to finish 13th in their league. Now, again, you have more minutes to sell, bigger role, that kind of stuff. But, like, as much as it is a factor and it is an excuse, how about Bellarmine's guys out there? I mean, these kids.
Oh, I mean, Garrett Tipton, what a dog.
Yeah, I mean, they were those just the optics. I mean, again, I don't want to call
like
them,
you and me out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
yes, white dudes.
Yeah, goofy white guys, and they ball, and they play hard, they're physical. I mean, Scott Davenport's a damn good coach, and we all knew that. That's the thing.
They run a system, Nick.
Somebody asked me yesterday, I'm surprised there's not a bigger reaction. How special it was for Scotty to get that. When I'm thinking, maybe you're right, but also I think there's not that big of a reaction because everybody already knew how great of a coach he was, and everybody knew that this was going to be a fight. And again, I didn't hear from many fans that said, oh, it'll be fine. The exhibition game's not a big deal. They'll still blow them out. It's Bellarmine. Like now, if it would have been a different team that we weren't familiar with, like another team from the A-Sun that came in, like Stetson or something, yeah, we probably would have been more confident. But we knew what Bellarmine can do. We knew what Scott Davenport can do as a coach. So I think he's getting the deserved praise, but I think the reason maybe for those of that thought maybe the reaction should have been stronger, I think it's because it's not a surprise. We know he's a damn good coach, and Bellarmine's really, really lucky to have him. All right, let's see here. Did we talk about last night's NFL mess? I mean, what an awful game.
Yeah, it was. I want some money off of it.
What'd you bet?
I had Marcus Mariota over 155. I had Cordell Patterson under 55 rushing yards.
Oh, so player prop action, huh?
Yes. It was all same game parlay. And then Deontay Foreman over 55 yards.
Nice.
And Terrence Marshall over 25 yards. And Kyle Pitts over 25 yards. And for the longest time,
it was close for you.
He was close. And I don't know what the Falcons are doing. I mean, I understand you have Marcus Mariota. It's kind of like a mess at quarterback, but still, when you have a generational talent at tight end, shouldn't you find a way to get him the ball almost like all the time?
Yes.
And they fail to do so.
Well, here's what I would say about the Falcons. I mean, the kid Ritter from St. X, who went to Cincinnati, Desmond Ritter, like, he must be really bad in practice. He must be really bad in practice for them to not hand the reins over to him. And he was good. I mean, he was really good in preseason, which, again, it's preseason. But the fact that they still go with, I mean, I'm the first article I saw this morning about last night's game says this: Desmond Ritter must be the worst quarterback in NFL history to not be playing over Marcus Mariota at this point. And that's clearly an exaggeration, but like, it's true. Mariota sucks.
Yeah, he's bad. And I was just sitting there thinking about that last night. What a fall from grace. I mean, you have a former number two pick, and it was for the longest time, it was him and Jameis Winston that were just that's the whole buzz. That's what the future was at one point. We were sitting here this time five, maybe six years ago talking about, well, is how many Super Bowls will Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston have? And look at them. But what did you think about
Jameis
the Panthers?
Is hurt, right?
What's that?
Jameis is hurt. I mean, he's still not anywhere close to a Super Bowl quarterback.
He's feeling pain all over. Ever since the first week. What did you think about the Panthers' uniforms last night? They were pretty sweet.
I don't even think I saw him. I didn't watch a second of that game.
Okay. See, when they debuted the brand new black helmets.
When college basketball's on.
It wasn't prying you away. You don't want to watch two and seven teams go at it.
I'd rather watch teams nobody's ever heard of in college basketball because I'm a dork and I bet on him and I didn't win. I had a rough day yesterday.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I had a rough day yesterday. I made the mistake. Western -7.5. Look, Rick Stansbury, he ended up surviving and beating EKU. Mm-hmm. But Western, they've got a really good roster. And I don't mean a good roster for Western. I mean a good roster in general. And Rick Stansbury, I don't get it. I mean,
he's got him going.
He brings talent there, but like, why aren't they better? How have they never made the tournament? I said it last year. If he doesn't make the tournament with that roster, how does he keep his job? And here he is again. I'm saying the same thing, but yet I don't think there's any pressure to move on from him because he keeps bringing them players. They stay relevant, but they don't win enough. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I also trusted Frank Martin at UMass, and I didn't realize how much of a bad situation he inherited. They got blown out by Towson. So, yeah, I got to pick my face up off the mat today because after a good start, the three-leg parlay hit on I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday.
What were the final odds on that? Do you remember how much was a payout on that?
I can look. I'll look in a second and see, but it wasn't anything crazy. I'm not allowed to post my bet slips anymore.
Oh, okay.
But, because apparently it gives the impression that maybe like we're cooking the books and because I'm partnered with them, they're like telling me what to bet so I can show that I'm winning. And
you want to see our losing slips?
I was going to say, I'll show you plenty. Like I am paid to endorse FanDuel, but man, it's still a loss at the end of the day when it comes to what I bet. So
all these one legged miss.
Yeah. That's my life. If I had a betting podcast, it would be like something in regard to one leg off. That would be, that would be the best way to describe my wagering. All right, let's get a quick timeout in. We'll come back on the other side, get to your phone calls, get to the text line, 502-571-7900 if you want to give us a call. And again, text line, 502-653-0790. That is the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thornton's right here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thornton's.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790 with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thornton's.
That's right, you're in the Red Zone, 7:33 here on a Friday morning. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're fueled by Thornton's. If you want to text in, you can do it. We got a loaded text line right now, 502-653-0790. That is the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. Members get more at LNN Federal Credit Union. You can learn more and open an account today at lnfcu.com. All right, so some basketball text to get to, but this one comes in from Jeremy, and I would agree. He says, Nick, I feel better about this game probably than I ever have when Louisville's played Clemson, but it's simply a situation where I got to see it before I can believe it. I think that's fair. I think they've given us reason to feel pretty good about it, but it's really a wait-and-see situation just because this would be something very unusual for this program under Satterfield. I mean, this would be a humongous win for everybody involved, and I'm telling you, I think it's going to happen. I do.
We'd say the same thing about this game that we'll be saying probably in a couple weeks before the Kentucky game. Like, it's there for grabs, but how? And we feel good about it, but how good do we feel about it?
Is it weird that I feel better about the Clemson game than the Kentucky game?
Than this Kentucky? Wow. No, it's not.
It's just because of what we've seen in the – I mean, again, in Kentucky looks as beatable as they have in the last few years, right?
Sure.
I mean, they're not, they're not a bad team by any means, but
they're
just
giving us nightmares. Kentucky's giving us nightmares.
It's PTSD. I'm telling you, that's what it is. It's been so, and it's the way it came about too, is because even if you weren't trying to feel confident, the last two times they played, you could at least go into that game feeling like, you know what, we're in a pretty decent spot. They may be the better team. They're the favorite for obvious reason, but let's go compete. And then you don't compete. You get blown out. So It is insane for me to say that I feel better about Clemson than I do Kentucky, but that's just where I'm at. So, look, if you are just now joining us, this would be not only a moment for everybody involved, like it would be a game changer, a big deal. I think nationally the conversation would be more about, oh man, what happened to Clemson? But I don't give a damn. that wouldn't keep me from having a lot of joy with that win. But for Malik Cunningham, this could be his moment, and I don't want to put a lot of pressure on the kid, but that's why I feel like he may thrive in this moment, because when it comes to pressure, I just have to assume that he doesn't feel it like he was for the first 3 years as a starter, because now it's not as if they've got to light the world on fire on offense. They don't have to score 35 or more to win now. I mean, that's a pretty good recipe when you're scoring points, and they have been scoring points for that matter, but I just think it's got to have such an impact on you to not feel that pressure whenever your defense gets out there after you have a quick three and out, and you know, hey, we're going to be back out there pretty soon with another chance to score because this defense is doing their part. And for years, they didn't. All right, it's going to be tough to talk about this basketball team in this season, because I'm going to try to have balance here and be critical whenever it's necessary, but also not overreact and try to find the positives in what is likely going to be a pretty long season. But this is just further proof that you can't make anybody happy. I mean, there are those that are acting as if we're being too hard on Kenny. And then, of course, there are those that, you know, that think that, you know, Kenny shouldn't have the job and stuff like that. So this is from Riley. He says, how anyone could watch this performance and not have questions? Sure, a few guys showed glimpses, but thoroughly outplayed at multiple positions for large periods of that game. We should never give up 17-2 runs, in my opinion, especially to that team. I kind of agree. I mean, having questions is, and that's fair to me, because having questions doesn't mean you're ready to say that this is awful and you've already determined that this was a bad move to bring in Kenny Payne. I don't think anybody's saying that, really. I mean, maybe they were saying that after the game Wednesday because of the raw emotion right after it you lose and you see Bellarmine throwing L's down saying, hey, this is our city. I mean, yeah, that's tough to take, but I get why they did it. I would probably do the same thing. So here's the other side of the reaction. It says, I don't agree with what you were saying. You know, the NCAA penalty played a role in why we didn't get any good guards. And these are the same players from last year's team, and they're showing the same issues once again. Their terrible lack of basketball IQ. I think KP will prevail once he gets his players in. He said since day one that everybody needed to be patient and this team wasn't any good. Well, he didn't say this team wasn't going to be any good, but yes, he certainly danced around that. And we know that. And look, I have said since day one that it's a legitimate excuse to not be able to get players, especially high caliber players. But even Chris Mack got players. Now, they weren't very good. And to be fair, the guys that he brought in that weren't very good last year would certainly play on this year's team. There's no doubt. And they probably wouldn't be great, but maybe KP could coach them up in a way that Chris Mack didn't.
Can we get Sam Williamson back? What's he doing?
I mean, Noah Locke would play on this team. And hell, Dre Davis would play on this team. His brother Tay would play on this team. And they would, I don't know how good you'd be with those guys, but you could certainly use them. So, my speculation, and that's the key word, it's me speculating. I don't know this for certain, but I don't think Kenny realized how difficult it would be to go get players. So I think early on in the process through the portal, they probably passed on some guys, and I think it burned them. That's just what I assume happened, because there's no way that he thought he was good at guard. There's no way he thought, and in fact, I know that. I mean, they will tell you behind closed doors, their roster is so unbalanced at the guard spot. And I think they did try to change that, but it didn't work out. It didn't work out. So, you know, moving forward with, I mean, here's the hope, is that now this 2023 class, you've already got two guys in the fold that you feel pretty good about. You hopefully can finish strong and land a guy like AJ Johnson and Isaiah Miranda. And then next year in the portal, it's on. There's no sanction. You're probably still going to be in a position where you're going to be selling a big role to a big transfer that wants to come and play at the KFC Yum Center in the ACC. I mean, that's where I'm, you know, I hope that they finish strong with recruiting in the 2023 class. I really do. And I think they will, at least, you know, wishful thinking. But in the portal is where I really hope to see a big, I mean, because you can, I mean, it's crazy. If you follow college basketball even a little bit, it's hard to keep up with all these dudes that are on different teams now. Some guys playing for their third school in 3 years. I mean, you can instantly change who you are as a team in the portal. And Louisville, you know, they did that last year, but they just didn't get the right guys, and it was just a huge mess. I mean, that season was destined to be the final one for Mac for a variety of reasons, but he went out and got guards that simply just aren't good enough to play here. And then now, I mean, again, this is where we are, and this may sound like I'm being over the top, and I'm not picking on anybody, but last year I said throughout the season, without trying to sound mean, I felt like Louisville's backcourt was the worst backcourt in my lifetime as a Louisville fan. And I know they had other seasons where they had poor guard play back, you know, towards the end of Denny, but that team had Reese Gaines and Marcus Maben. Those guards were pretty damn good. Last year, you didn't have guys that were terrible. They just weren't good enough to play here and be, you know, key guys. So I think that was true. And here we are a year later, and you lost those guys and didn't bring anybody else in. And that's just, that's why you're in this situation. So, again, I'm sorry to reiterate, but it's going to be tough to talk about this team because I know there are some that are worried about the decision to bring. Like, is this going to work out? And then there are some that say, you know, the hell with you. This was going to be a process. So like I'm going to try to balance that. But no matter which way I go, I know I'm going to hear from the other side. I mean, they got Wright State tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and Wright State is a better team than Bellarmine. Now, Bellarmine does things that can really, you know, their style of play, the way they make you guard throughout the entire shot clock. I think they're just a matchup problem for a young team like Louisville that's still trying to figure out who they are. But again, Wright State would be favored over Bellarmine. In fact, let me look and see. The KenPom has Louisville winning this game by 10 points, 77-67. And again, I don't know what the line's going to be for this game. But if it's double figures and you want to wager it, I think, and again, Louisville, I think they'll win. I think they'll bounce back. I think they actually, despite losing that game, can carry a little bit of confidence and momentum with that 11-0 run that they went on to end the game. But Rice State's a good team. Scott Nagy's been a good coach there for a while. They should have beat a good Davidson team, but they fell short in double overtime. So I think Louisville wins, but I think it'll be close. And just get that first win out of the way, because you don't want to, I mean, imagine going to Maui without a win. I mean, imagine that, because you're not, I mean, let's be real, Maui's going to be tough for us, right? I mean, we know that. You've got Wright State and Appalachian State. Just please get a couple of wins before you take off for Maui. I beg of you, please. Did you guys know that it's supposed to snow tomorrow? Is that real? Am I being trolled?
Is it? I mean, it is supposed to, this weather is supposed to drop down significantly.
I love it.
Bottom's supposed to fall out.
I love cold weather.
Oh, yeah. You've got the Christmas tree up, don't you?
Hell yeah.
That's right.
I got four Christmas trees up
four
in my house.
Four Christmas trees.
I got one in daughter's room, got one in our bedroom, got one downstairs, got one in the living room, and we do it big. Yeah,
you have one in the daughter's bedroom?
Oh, yeah. A little bitty one next to her.
Okay.
Yeah, she loves it.
Does Santa drop the presents off there, or is Santa always?
Santa's going to be all over the house.
Okay.
He's going to be dropping them all over.
Santa's wild. Yeah,
so according to Wave 3, we could get... Tomorrow, we could get AM wet snow showers.
Mm.
And then on Tuesday, rain, snow, mixed to rain. So the next week, we got some snow in the forecast. And I know that makes everybody depressed, but I kind of like it because I'm weird like that. Some would say that makes me a psycho. Like you guys sitting on the same side as your spouse at the restaurant makes you a psycho. Me liking snow makes me a psycho.
That is kind of crazy behavior.
Yeah. It is. All right, quick timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the 7 o'clock hour on the other side. Get back to the text line and keep it rolling here. Good vibes on a Friday morning. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thornton's right here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thornton's.
I don't know what it is about your face, but I want to deliver one of these right in your suck hole.
Is there anything I can do to work on that?
No, not really. It's your face. If you don't change your face, I'm going to change it for you.
Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790. You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thornton's.
I'm just looking at the schedule this weekend for college football, and it's not great when it comes to the teams that are in the driver's seat as we speak for the college football playoff. I mean, it doesn't look like many of them are expected to be challenged this weekend. at least not that from what I can tell. I mean, I guess the best game on paper is probably Alabama-Ole Miss. You surprised Bama's favored by 12 here? Just
no, I was about to say, they're like double-digit favorites, yeah. Right?
Yeah, Ole Miss, they've had a good year, no doubt, but...
they're not ranked, are they?
Ole Miss?
Yeah, Ole Miss.
Yeah, they're 8-1. They're number 11 in the country in the college football playoff rankings. But
I knew that.
Well, because I'm glad you said that, though, because they've actually had a fairly easy schedule. I mean, their best win is probably against Kentucky, and
that's right.
That's saying something. And their one loss is to LSU, who's really turned it around. They did beat Texas A&M in a close game last week, but Texas A&M is having a really bad year. So, I mean, Ole Miss for an SEC West team. I mean, Auburn's really down. You could make the case that this is the weakest SEC West schedule of all time because their out-of-conference games were against Troy, Central Michigan, and Georgia Tech, and Tulsa. And Alabama's, of course, on the schedule this Saturday. Arkansas's really down now. Their quarterback may not play the rest of the season. And then Mississippi State is their finale. Of course, that's the Egg Bowl. That's the rivalry game. They could lose that game, but they'll probably be favored in that one. So Ole Miss could go 11-1 and not really have a lot to show for it, right?
Yeah. I mean, is this a Lane Kiffin revenge game?
I mean, for sure. Absolutely. I mean,
this is a game where it always seems like Lane Kiffin either gets a blown out or actually is like kind of competitive in.
Well, and you got to keep in mind, I mean, Ole Miss, even before Lane Kiffin, has always been a weird team for Alabama. Mm-hmm. They've had like Chad Kelly beat them. I mean, they've had years where it's not as if they've lost to them a bunch of times because, to be fair, nobody beats Bama on the regular basis. But yeah, I don't know. Bama coming off a loss is something I typically would want to stay away from. But I mean, they won 30-6 against Mississippi State after losing to Tennessee, and then last week they lost in overtime to LSU in a game they were really trailing the whole game. It seemed. I know that was a bad beat for you because it went into overtime. Mm-hmm. But
it was pretty bad.
Yeah, Ole Miss plus 11. I kind of like that action.
Saban's cooked.
Yeah, he's done.
Saban's done.
It is wild though because they could finish, you know. I mean, this is what I mentioned at the beginning of the week, and it just really tells you how dominant they've been in this sport. This is the first time they've had two losses before Thanksgiving since 2010, which, again, I know
tragic.
It's unbelievable. So they could struggle this year, but then, like, if they come back and win the national championship next year, then nobody would be surprised because it's Bama. It's Saban.
It's
what they do.
He's not going to do it. He's a bum now.
Yeah, so Ohio State, they've got Indiana. I don't think they're in trouble in that game. And then the other teams that, of course, appear to be in prime position. Oh, sorry. When I go to ESPN and look at the schedule, they got these auto video ads.
I hate that.
I got to turn that off. I'm sorry. That's on me. I know better now to turn my board off whenever I go to that page. But I guess some of the other teams are on a bye. Like Georgia, do they play this weekend?
I don't know. I haven't seen them on any of the sheets.
Yeah, my guess is that Georgia's on a bye. They've got Kentucky next week. And yeah, Georgia is... Yes, they are in action. They play Mississippi State. I'm sorry. And then Tennessee plays Missouri. They shouldn't have much trouble there. And then Michigan, of course, is the other team that has benefited from the recent losses with other teams. And Michigan is in action against Nebraska. So, yeah, it's a pretty light weekend. And dare I say Louisville-Clemson, I mean, I think we had Cupper on earlier this week, and he mentioned that he had a little bit of a prediction regarding the College Game Day crew that when this game comes up, he's expecting them to kind of be like, you know, kind of a sneaky good game. Louisville's improved their situation and Clemson is vulnerable. Could we see the 22-game home winning streak snapped? I don't know if you're going to see many people predict it, but given the slate, this is actually a pretty interesting game, in my opinion. I mean, there's no maybe to it. I am biased because Louisville doesn't exactly move the needle nationally. But coming up at 9:05, we're going to bring in Zach Barnett of footballscoop.com, and this is like the first time I feel like he's with us and there's actually a game featuring Louisville that is at least somewhat interesting on the national level. So,
yes.
Again, the reaction if Louisville was to win would be that Clemson's really down, but that wouldn't keep me from celebrating. And hopefully it's a celebration tomorrow night for the Louisville football postgame show. So here's what we're doing. Louisville basketball plays at 1 o'clock against Wright State, and then right after that at 3:30 is when the football game is. So we're just going to do one post-game show tomorrow. It'll mostly be for football, but maybe we sneak in some basketball stuff as well, depending on what we see. So
is it basketball season?
It is, man. And that's what, like, I haven't even looked at the board for bets on football because I'm just becoming that nerd that's trying to, You know, because early on, some of these spreads really don't make sense. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some teams that, like, I know are really, really, like, for example, like,
and the totals.
Yeah, like last night, and this is a game that nobody would ever watch. I'm not even sure if it was watchable. I just kept up with it on the app. But Santa Clara was 11 point favorites against Georgia Southern. And, like, I've watched, and I know Georgia Southern's really, really bad, and Santa Clara is actually a pretty good team.
Oh, yeah.
In that conference.
Santa Clara's laying, what was it, 11, you said?
Yeah, and they went in by, like, you know, 20 something. So that's how pathetic my life is. I stay up late and feel great about those kind of wins, those kind of victories, because I'm a college basketball dork. What can I say? All right, we got to run. We got 2 more hours to go. Stick with us. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thorns. We're going to get back to the text line on the other side. It's 502-653-0790. It's the LNN Federal Credit Union text line.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.